comes to bring the word today, Pastor Josh McCamp.
Hey, amen. All right, hey, two things. We have a goal today to end early on purpose and to give every single one of you in this room an opportunity to make your way into the gym and to sign up somewhere to serve, okay? And so that's the goal, to get done early, okay? Before I could do that, need you to do two things. One, I need you to listen well and turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. And while you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4, wanted to give you a heads up. For those of you that know this person, Lindsay Chatterton, he is one of the founding families of our church back in the day in 1956, right around there, 1958. Him and Mel Doney with their wives helped start this church with a few other families. Lindsay's wife went home to be with the Lord just a couple days ago. And for those of you that know her or know them, he wants you to know that you're invited to be a part of a service celebrating her life, Esther, this Friday at 1 p.m. And Vader Assembly. So if that pertains to you, you could check that out. If you want more details, I'm sure Mel, if you'd raise your hand, he would be able to help you out and with that. But what an amazing couple. And so would you also pray for Lindsay as he transitions this next phase of life for him as well? And so, hey, are you there at 2 Kings chapter 4? Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 through 7. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all of your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him, and she shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, there is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Today, I want to talk to you on this topic, empty vessels, empty vessels. So if you're taking notes, would you write that phrase down, empty vessels? Hey, would you pray with me? God, I thank you for this word. And Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you, God, for what you want to do today. And Lord, I just ask that you would help us grab a hold of your truth today. Stir our faith, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, a few weeks ago, man, we started a series that we've entitled The Making of a Hero Maker, and it was this series that our goal and our desire was really to have you grab a hold of the mere fact that the making of a hero maker really is found at the heart of who Jesus was, why he was here. It was found at the heart of who his disciples were. It was even found at the heart of what he's called you and I to do. And so our heart was to cast that vision in several different ways for you and I to grab a hold of the mere fact that we are called to do the same. And our job as followers of Jesus isn't simply to just get people to say yes to him. Now, that by all means is a starting point, and we need to see that more, right? But it's got to go beyond that. It's got to go beyond the mere fact that we are called to help people understand who they are in Christ and what he's called them to do for their life. And so it's got to go beyond just yes to that next step. And as we end the series today, I want to remind you of the definition that we have gave you of what a hero maker is. And the definition is this: is a person who shifts from being the hero to making others the hero in God's unfolding story. It's grabbing hold of the fact that you and I should take our eyes off of ourselves and help build up and equip and release people around us to become the hero in the unfolding story of God in their own life. Yeah. Our job is to go around and make disciples who make disciples, or in other words, make heroes who go out and make heroes. And so that's our job, is to help them grab a hold of that fact. Now, the passage that we read here this morning really kind of introduces for you and I, just because we've only read one passage, this idea of vessels, this idea of this principle that you really read throughout all of Scripture. You find this principle about vessels there. And when you read Scripture and you look at the different contexts that you find, what you find about vessels is it's pretty clear that these vessels represent people figuratively. But it also represents like specific needs that need to be met. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, says this: "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some for dishonor." I mean, these vessels that he's talking about are people. They're humanoids. They're you and I, right? He's not talking about some actual vessel in a house. He's actually talking about you. He's talking about me. But then also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, you read this: "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." This treasure that is found is the gospel. This treasure that is found is the Holy Spirit living inside of you and I, of earthen vessels. We are finite beings. We are not infinite. Only God is, right? And so he's like, hey, the treasure that I've given you, the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, is living inside of a finite being, inside an earthly vessel. Which leads me to just this idea for this morning. A hero maker understands empty vessels are the key to miracles in his house. A hero maker understands empty vessels are the key to miracles in his house. See, here in this passage we are in this morning clearly has this idea of needs. But you also can make the case based on the other scriptures found throughout all of Scripture that you can make the case that this represents people as well. When you read this passage in Timothy that we read, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, when you read that, you find out that there's two types of vessels, right? There's vessels of honor and there's vessels of dishonor, right? There's two different kinds. Vessels of honor are clearly those that already know who they are in Christ. They have already surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. While vessels of dishonor are those who are not saved, but they're lost. They do not have any relationship with Jesus, and because of that, they have no real value in the house of God because of that. Now, we understand because Jesus and God is sovereign, we understand that he can use whatever vessel he wants, right? You do understand that. He can use unsaved people for his purposes just as much as he can use saved people for his purposes. Why? Because he's God. But we understand that he puts a way higher premium on those that are his, right? Those are vessels of honor. However, these vessels of honor are already part of God's kingdom, part of his house, and have value in his kingdom. And it's here that we have to understand that this passage in Kings, if we could like make the leap back there, really honestly gives us some incredible principles for you and I to glean from. She was told to go and grab empty vessels. For what purpose? I mean, these represent like the needs that she had and that God was going to do a miracle on her behalf to meet those needs, correct? I mean, that's what we find out in the story. So it is with you and I, when we understand this principle, this concept of empty vessels, we understand that this really represents you and I bringing our needs or like, you know, my need before God. Right? It's this idea that this woman in the story represents those who are already in the house. She has oil already, not realizing she has what she needs to meet her current situation. Many times, we fail to recognize the importance of bringing our needs to the Lord in an empty way. I mean, the oil flowed when she brought an empty jar, not a partially filled jar, nor one with a few drops of oil at the bottom. It didn't already have a little oil from something else. Have you ever felt overwhelmed with the issues of life, But instead of emptying yourself of the issue, you try to fill it with a bunch of different worldly ideas, worldly methods, or even your own effort. I mean, we even try and fill with good-looking religious effort, thinking the more we work, it will somehow grant us success and access to God's miraculous provision. I mean, so we bring our half-filled dreams, our half-filled desires to God. We bring our plans and our theological treaties to God, asking for Him to bless our efforts and wonder why it doesn't pan out that way when we put in the work. Like, I'm doing the work, God. I'm baby stepping, you know, right? Like, I'm doing all this stuff, thinking that that somehow is going to win us favor. See, the key to the miracle was empty vessels. See, we have to empty our dreams from ourselves, empty our plans from ourselves, empty our desires from ourselves, realizing when we come empty, that's when the miraculous takes place. See, it's when we quit trying to control the outcome and simply be an empty vessel that the oil that we had this whole time can now finally be released to fulfill the dreams, desires, and plans God has birthed within you and I. All because we got our eyes off of ourselves, got our eyes off of how we can do it, how we can accomplish it, to understanding and realizing that without the miraculous touch of God, you and I can't do anything to pass this thing on. Right. Without God touching and blessing your dreams, blessing your plans, blessing your thoughts, guess what, friends? Jesus says you and I can do nothing apart from Him. And so, when we empty ourselves of how we want it done, have you ever, like, tried something and realized it just flat out didn't work? And then when you actually do what God asks you to do or what He tells you to do, it's like, wow, that was so much easier. We have a video that we were trying to loop, and I was trying to do all these different things. And I'm sitting there on Saturday studying and praying and stuff, and then all of a sudden just this thought, like, I tried to drop in a PowerPoint, it didn't work. Wasn't the right format, all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, this thought just hit me. Just download the video and plug it into the TV. And I was like, it cannot be that easy. And so I did it, and it was that easy. I was like, what in the world? I was making it so much harder, but for whatever reason, God just dropped this simple thought, and as soon as I did it, everything worked out. Everything worked out. See, when you feel as if you are at the end of yourself, that's when you're in a great position for a miracle to flow out of your life. Yeah. See, we have to also understand that these vessels are an opportunity for you and I to pray for others to encounter Jesus. See, these empty vessels also represent other people that we can bring before the Lord to ask Him to fill them up. I mean, so the reality is if I'm a vessel, I hope that you treat me as one that is empty in your prayer closet. I hope that you hold me up figuratively in the spiritual sense and pray that God fills me with His words for His church. Fills me with with the details of His vision for this church. And fills me with the strength needed to do what He's calling me to do. Not only that, but I hope and I pray that you and I do that with each other. That we could say like Paul with an attitude that says, when I think of you, I thank my God always in remembrance of you. Yeah. And you lift each other up in prayer and you bring them before God in an empty way. It's like, God, fill them up. They need you. Maybe you don't know what they need, but He does. Yeah. But man, we bring them in such a way that God's like, I'm answering that prayer. I'm filling that person because of you. We have to realize that there are people all around us that are empty in the sense that they don't have a relationship with Jesus. And we need to bring them before God in our prayer closet. We need to pray for Billy. We need to pray for Susie. We need to pray for Matt. We need to pray for Crystal. We need to pray for every single person that we are connected with that doesn't know Jesus to encounter the real, living, risen Savior. Why? Because without Jesus, there is no hope for humanity. And we need to bring all those people every single time. Say, Jesus, you've got to touch them. I've tried to talk to them. Have you ever tried to talk to someone about Jesus? And it just falls flat. But all of a sudden, you bring them to God in your prayer closet. And all of a sudden, someone else says something to them. And it's like, ah! And you're like, seriously? You know this. You could tell your kid 50 times, don't do this. And all of a sudden, their youth pastor says it once. They're like, oh, yeah, sure, he's got the magic pill. Like, right? They all of a sudden obey. You're like, what on earth? That's why you get your kids in youth ministry, because they partner with you. Right? They're to echo you. They're to champion for you. They're to help you raise your kids. Why? Because we need a village to raise kids today. Right? But it's the same way with you and I, man. When we bring people to Jesus in an empty way and say, God, they don't know you, but it is your will. I know it. It's your desire. I know it. To fill them to have an encounter with you. And we do that. Things shift. Things happen. We ask God, God, would you bring them to a spot to where they no longer will be a vessel of dishonor, but they'll come to be a vessel of honor and useful for the master to use in his house. Not only that, we have to understand that it is our job to go out and grab those who don't know Jesus. It's our job. Now, if you're here today, you're a guest, and you have never said yes to Jesus, I'm not talking to you right now. But if you said yes to Jesus, guess what, friends? It is your job to go and grab people that don't know Jesus and bring them in the house. It's not the pastor's job alone. It's not the staff's job alone. It's not those quote-unquote professionals that know what they're doing alone. It is your job and my job to go and grab people that don't know Jesus and to bring them in the house. Since vessels also represent our figurative people, we have to understand and see the symbolic nature of this passage concerning the Great Commission. See, the prophet told her to go out into her neighborhood and bring back every empty vessel that she can grab. Don't go out and just grab a few. He goes, go out there and grab as many vessels as you possibly can. Matter of fact, don't come back to your own house until you've grabbed them all. Hear me this morning, friends. We don't need God to enlarge his vision for our city. We need him to enlarge our vision in order to grab a hold of the largeness of his vision. Let me read that one more time. We don't need God to enlarge his vision for our city. We need God to enlarge our vision in order to grab a hold of the largeness of his vision. I believe it is God's will to see every single church in Longview and Kelso that preaches the name of Jesus to be filled. I believe it with everything within me. Why? Because there's tens of thousands of people in our area that don't know Jesus. And he's asking you and I to go and grab them and bring them in. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That whole point of nations is anyone that does not know Jesus, no matter their nationality, is a candidate for you to go and make a disciple. Every coworker that doesn't know Jesus is a candidate. Every family member is a candidate. Every neighbor is a candidate. Every person that you see downtown is a candidate. Everywhere you go, maybe you're on vacation and you come across someone and they don't know Jesus, they're a candidate. Why? Because it's all nations. It's not go to the nations. Everywhere you're at, if there's any person that doesn't know Jesus, that is who you are called to reach. Everywhere you and I go, we have to be willing to grab empty vessels to bring them into his house. See, we are called to go and grab empty vessels of all shapes and sizes and get them to come into the house. Luke chapter 14, verse 23 says this. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Go out to the highways and hedges. Go to the places that seem off limits. Go to the places that seem sketchy and kind of scary. go to the outer rim, so to speak, of like the, like that's, oh man, that's like the bad part of town. They need Jesus. Go to those places. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? To go tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ and to bring them into his house. He says to compel them. What is he saying? Do whatever you need to do to get them in the house. That word compel, literally in the Greek, has the idea even to forcefully bring them. Now, I'm not talking about kidnapping, okay? Like, don't go out of here and go, all right, we're going to kidnap 300 people for Easter service next week. Don't do that. I would just say, that's on you, police officer, take them away, not me, right? But he's saying, do whatever you need to do to bring them in. Get them in. Why? So that my house may be full. See, once she got the vessels into the house, that's when the table for the miraculous was set. Here's why I say that. It wasn't until she took care of what was already in the house that the miracle she experienced went beyond the four walls of her house. Many times, discipleship isn't noticed publicly. It's done behind closed doors. It's not always going to be public. See, if you're always waiting for discipleship to be done so all can see your good deeds, you will cut off the miracle that God wants to do through you. See, we have vessels right now in the confines of our four walls of our church that need to be filled right here in this room. We have kids in our kids ministry that need to be filled. We have youth in our youth ministry that need to be filled. They're already in the house. And as you and I recognize our responsibility to disciple those already in our care, it will release a miracle needed to fill those vessels around us. And as vessels are filled up around us, as long as we continue to gather more empty vessels, the miracles will continue to flow through us as individuals and as a church. Life change is the greatest miracle of all. All, as lives are transformed by the fullness of who Christ is, and we help them understand and to become the hero maker in their own right, not only do they become a blessing inside the house, but man, they will go out and grab more empty vessels that they are connected to be filled back in the house. That's how discipleship should work. The only reason in this story that we read that the oil ceased was because they didn't have any more empty vessels. And as long as there is one more empty vessel that needs Jesus, may we continue to reach for more, because Jesus is wanting and waiting for the oil to flow through his people. See, our job is to strive to empty ourselves and those around us, because as we do that, we help fill them up, but we also experience the flow of the Holy Spirit through us. Why don't you watch this video of Susan Hardy and how she's experiencing this right now?
I just want to thank Pastor Josh for the Hero Maker series that we've been hearing. About 3 weeks ago, he preached the sermon, Thinking Like a Hero Maker, and it really challenged me. He said a hero maker is a person who shifts from being the hero to making others the hero in God's unfolding story. And not long after that sermon, my daughter-in-law called me on a Friday morning and told me that her 97-year-old grandmother had fallen, and she was taking her to the emergency room. And her folks were out of town, so Marissa was the one in charge. And I told her I would meet her there. And as I was praying for her, I remembered Pastor's sermon and the fact that he was challenging us rather to be the hero, to shift and to help others become the hero. And so I shot a text to my daughter-in-law, Marissa, and I said, Marissa, I believe the Lord is going to give you boldness and an opportunity to share the gospel with your grandmother, just as he gave me the opportunity to share with mine as she was dying. privilege to either lead her to the Lord or provide assurance of her salvation if she is a believer. I'm praying for you both. This may be why this happened while your parents were away and you were ordained to be with her for such a time as this. And so the next day, when Marissa and I returned to the hospital, we learned that she was being released with the promise that Monticello Park was going to be checking on her every hour. And as we were sitting and talking with her, Marissa was due to leave the following morning and she hadn't even packed yet. And so she says, "Grandma, I have to leave. I've got things that I have to do." And then Marissa just jumped right in and she asked, "Grandma, have you ever accepted the Lord as your Savior? Have you ever invited Him into your life?" And she said, "Yes, I have." And Marissa asked her the second time and she was sure. She was just bold in her announcement that yes, she had. And so we talked with her a little bit and we prayed and then we went on home. The unexpected benefit of being a hero maker was that Marissa and my relationship has been firmly knitted together, even more so than it had been through this experience. And so I just thank Pastor Josh for challenging us to making that shift instead of just being the hero to encourage someone else, to disciple them. And I got to thinking how profound it is if we share our faith and lead someone to the Lord, we are adding to the kingdom of God. But if we are hero makers and we encourage others to be disciples, then that's multiplication, not addition. And I like that better. So thank you, Josh, for encouraging us, challenging us to be hero makers.
Come on, would you? That's amazing. You have something to give to those around you. If you know Jesus, you have enough. He's gifted you and anointed you to help reach and disciple people. What is it that you have? See, the key to the widow's personal miracle was already in her possession, but it wasn't until she started pouring behind closed doors that she experienced it. She had no clue what would happen. I mean, what if she would have, like, not obeyed? What if she would have thought, "Man, this is pointless. Like, this prophet guy, he's off his rocker." Like, what if she just thought, "This is the stupidest, craziest story or the idea I've ever heard," and she didn't do it? She would have missed out on the miracle. You and I truly won't know what will happen, which is why we have to pour into people's lives by faith. See, you and I have to understand that the very little we feel we have is exactly what God wants and needs to do the miraculous as long as we place it in His hands. See, a baseball in my hands breaks a few windows and hits a few people. But in the hands of Jacob deGrom, he strikes out 269 people in 2018 and wins the Cy Young Award. It all depends on whose hands that it's in. A basketball in my hands will occasionally be a nice shot, but most often will build a brick house. But in the hands of Michael Jordan, it brings 6 championship titles to the city of Chicago. It just depends on whose hands that it's in. A football in my hands can school some third graders in my backyard. But in the hands of Tom Brady, brings consistent playoff appearances and wins championships. It just depends on whose hands that it's in. A golf club in my hands creates some amazing divots and brings frustration. But in the hands of Jack Nicklaus, wins 73 PGA Tour victories and 18 major wins. It all depends on whose hands that it's in. A race car in my hands will just cause a wreck. But in the hands of Jeff Gordon, races are won. It all depends on whose hands that it is. You may think you don't have enough to give or enough to disciple others or even enough to get involved here at the church, but I'm here to tell and declare to you this morning, the little bit of oil you got placed in the hands of the Almighty God can provide the miracle someone around you needs. It just depends on whose hands that it's in. So here's some action steps that I want to challenge every single one of us in this room with. Number one, our church needs your oil. Would you consider signing up somewhere to serve today in the gym as soon as I release you? See, there's going to be some people right now that are going to be heading that way because they want to have conversations with you. They want to see you get plugged in. See, we have to take care of what's already within the house if we want to experience the miraculous in our midst and see it go beyond the four walls. See, in our family, I have to take care of some things that I'm not necessarily passionate about. In my family, there's times where I have to scoop up dog poo in my front yard. I don't even own a dog. But I do it because it needs to get done. You see, there's things in our house right now that needs to get done. And we could sit there and say, well, that's not my responsibility. But if you're part of the church family and you've said yes to Jesus, guess what? It is part of your responsibility. Every single one of you in this place has somewhere that God wants to use you with, has somewhere where you can serve. So what I'm asking you to do is consider filling a need. And then raise someone else up to take that over and then do it all over again. See, why don't you serve as a married couple together? Why don't you even serve as a family together? You might be like, Pastor Josh, are you doing this? Absolutely. My kids serve in the kids ministry. My kids serve. Matter of fact, Justin serves on the computer with us. Yeah, every single time we have something that we're doing together, our family motto is this: whatever we do together. We're going to serve the church together. We're going to serve Jesus together. We're going to win people to Jesus together. We're going to do this together. And so why don't you have that same attitude? Say, hey, we're going to get plugged in together as a family. Or maybe just ask some friends and say, hey, I'm serving, so are you. Let's go. And just like, hey, let's do this together. And then secondly, I'm asking number two, would you invite people next week that need to hear about the amazing Savior named Jesus? Can we believe for empty vessels to come next week to be filled by Jesus? That's why I want to encourage you to grab those Connect cards. Those touch cards. Grab those. Invite people. But I'm going to challenge every single one of you, man. We're done right now, and I'm just going to have the band just sing just for a minute to give you guys time to kind of transition. But this is what I'm asking. I'm asking that you would make your way into the gym. There's a place for every single one of us to serve somewhere. You might be here today. Does that mean I have to serve every week? No. We don't want you to serve every week. That's not our heart. That's not our desire. But our heart and our desire is for you to serve somewhere. Maybe one time a month. Maybe once every 5 or 6 weeks. You may have to serve twice in 1 month just because maybe someone got sick. You know, and you're kind of taking one for the team and helping out and saying, hey, I'll cover for that for them. But our goal is to have every single person that says, hey, this is part of my church family, serve somewhere. So I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to officially release you. Jill's just going to sing this chorus, just give time, and then we're going to get some music going. But I want to encourage you, man. Would you take this time? You might be like, hey, I got somewhere to be. I cut it early, 18 minutes, so we're good, right? So we got time. So let's pray. Lord, we love you. And God, we thank you for what you're going to do in this place. We thank you for every person that's here today. And God, I pray that as we go into the gym, Lord, we would find a place to serve. Lord, whether that's kids ministry, youth ministry, whether that's being a greeter, whether that's being an usher, whether that's helping out with the remodel, whether that's helping out somewhere inside the church. Lord, I pray, God, that we would find a place to serve. And Lord, we thank you, God, for what you're going to do right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Jill, sing. And hey, when you stand to your feet, and let's transition. Go have a conversation. Go see where you can get plugged in.
I will boast in Christ alone.